Sedasky, Atari 8-Bit Productivity Podcast, Season 1, Episode 9.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in yet again. I'm your host, Wade, and this episode features Atari Family Finances, and it's an episode you can't afford to miss, literally. I have to give Mr. Savitz from the Antic Podcast credit for that pun. It's brilliant, it's obvious, and I missed it completely. Atari Family Finances is a two-part program designed to give you detailed information on your personal finances. It's broken into two parts as stated. There's cash flow and budget. Both programs are menu-driven. Cash flow tracks expense and income entries by category. It saves this in what they call a file cabinet, and you can recall the information in seconds with a few keystrokes. The budget program creates a budget based on information in your cash flow files. This allows you to evaluate your spending patterns and efficiently plan and budget your money for the whole year.
Technical data.
Family Finances was released in 1982. The publisher was Atari, and its programmer was Jerry Falkenhayn. Now, this was originally released as two separate APX titles, Family Cash Flow and Family Budget. The license is commercial, and it comes on two discs. The part number is CX421. It requires basic, 32K of memory, and a disk drive. Atari Mania lists it with a rarity of 7. The original price was $49.95, but that price had dropped to $6.95 by 1990. And in today's money, the original price would equate to $123.84. Or if you're looking at 1990s dollars, it would be about $12.84. The manual is 25 pages long. It's well written, but some features lacked adequate coverage. I'll talk more about this in the show summary.
Usage notes.
Let's start with the basic features. Family Finances is able to track 100 expense entries in 13 categories per month for 12 months. If using dual drives, this increases to 220 entries per month for 12 months. It tracks 20 income entries in 13 categories per month for 12 months. And again, if you're using dual drives, this increases to 100 entries per month for 12 months. It records annual household income and expenses up to $999,999.99. So if you're making $1 million a year or more, this program is not for you. I can't believe I said that with a straight face. Let's break the screen down for the cash flow portion. What color would a screen be if it was a money-related program? It's going to be money green colored. And that's what you get here. So there are 6 menu options. The first is Review Finances. This displays an overview of your monthly finances. The second is Expense Program, and this allows you to add, modify, and delete monthly expense entries. The third is Income Program. This allows you to add, modify, and delete monthly income entries. The fourth is Print Finances. This prints an income, expense, and variance report for the year. And the fifth is Setup Program, which erases all entries for the year and or allows you to rename income and expense categories. And the sixth is Leave Program, and it does just what you'd expect. I guess I should have labeled those A through F, since that's how they are represented on the screen. The first thing you need to do is to create a working copy of the program diskettes. You use the menu option F, Leave Program, and you'll be at the basic ready prompt. Then you go to DOS to do your copy. The manual walks you through the entire process of copying with either one or two drives, or you just prepare before booting the software by making your own copy. Now that said, the copies that I found on the internet are somewhat broken. The budget program absolutely would not load, and the cash flow program had kind of a merged disk setup with the budget program also on it. So in order to make it work, I broke open my shrink wrap copy and was able to successfully make copies of the disks. And I have forwarded those on to Atari Mania and will make sure that they're backed up on archive.org as well. Some people may cringe, but I really don't have a problem opening software. It's meant to be used, not looked at. While we're on the subject of disks, if you want to maximize the storage potential, you need to convert the program to use two disk drives. To do so, boot the program, exit it, and then run d:dual disk. You can also run one disk to convert this back to single drive usage later. When you're using two drives, drive 1 will house all income data and drive 2 will house all expense data. Disk 1 will still need to be swapped with the data disk as modules are loaded and exited. And that gives me a good segue into the modules. So module A is Review Finances. This displays three screens. The first is a variance report showing income versus expenses. The second is an income summary, and the third is an expense summary. It's pretty simple. Module B, Expense Program, and Module C, Income Program, are essentially the same. However, one is for expenses and the other is for income. These are separate modules that load seamlessly. To fully exploit Atari Family Finances, I created a mock life and a mock budget and entered a year's worth of details. So the budget was tight due to owning a Ferrari on a podcaster's income. In February, I got a ticket in the Ferrari. In March, my insurance went up, and I bought too much food and spent more than I brought in. In April, I decided to put the car up for sale and start taking light rail. In May, I sold the car, leaving just light rail, and that let me drop my insurance and gas, and I started eating out twice. In June, no more eating out, and my water bill went down because I wasn't washing a car anymore. I had a steady budget through October, with the exception of a raise received in September. Maybe I could have kept that Ferrari. In November, I saw a grocery increase due to Thanksgiving dinner for the family. And in December, I took a hit buying gifts, and I also had increased grocery spend again for Christmas dinner. When you enter either of these modules, first you are asked which month you want to work with. Then you have the following six options. A. Review entries. B. Enter new data. C. Change entries. D. Delete entries. E. Print entries. Or F. Get new month. So what do they all do? Menu item A, Review Entries, allows you to see entries based on a category. You are shown a summary screen with the total dollars for each category, but not the entry count for the category. The total entry count is at the top of the screen. You pick a category and a detail list is displayed for that category, complete with the total for the category at the bottom of the screen. Menu item B, Enter New Data. When entering new data, you are first asked which category. Then you enter a day number and a description, which can be 15 characters, and an amount. You are then asked if the information is correct. Answering no brings up a menu-driven edit screen where you choose the part you want to edit and then do so. Answering Y stores the entry and resets the input form for the next entry. If you want to change categories, you have to escape back out and then choose another category. Also to note, when entering data, you'll want to summarize it. In other words, you need to enter the monthly total for each category rather than the individual items. The program will let you enter individual items, but if you paid attention to the capacities I noted before, you will quickly run out of room trying to do so. So for example, gather all your dining receipts for a month and tally them up with a calculator, maybe Atari calculator, and then enter the total into the dining category for that month. Menu item C, Change Entries. This uses the same category selection screen as before, and the same detailed entry list screen as review entries. Once you select the entry ID you want to alter, the edit screen is the same as used for edits with menu item B, Enter New Data. Menu item D, Delete Entries. This uses the same category selection screen again, and the same detailed entry list screen again. From the detailed list, input the ID you want to delete. You will be asked to confirm it, and then you return to the detailed entry list. Menu item E, Print Entries. This gives you the option to produce four different reports. The first, A, All Summaries, produces a report for all months showing the totals, only each category for each month, and a yearly total, This takes a few minutes with a year's worth of data. The second, B, all detail reports, produces a report for all months showing all entry details. This takes quite a bit longer than the first report. So go get a drink, you've got plenty of time. The third, C, month summary, produces a summary report for just the currently selected month. It is similar to the all summaries option, but only includes the current month. The fourth option, D, detail, produces a detail report for just the currently selected month. Again, it's similar to the all detail reports, but it only includes the currently selected month. All of the report samples are available on the Inverse Itasca website, as are many, many screenshots. So head on over and check them out. Menu item F, Get New Month, allows you to change the currently selected month. That's about all it does. Module D, Print Finances. This generates a printed report of the same data seen in the Review Finances section. I was hoping for a little bit more here. Module E, Setup Program. This allows you to clear data entries and or edit the income and expense categories, which are separate from each other. And to conclude the cash flow portion, Module F, which really isn't a module at all, it just leaves the program. The program contents are erased from memory, and you are left at the basic ready prompt. And now on to the budget program. The budget program has five modules. The first is review budgets. The second is change entries. The third is print budgets. The fourth is setup budgets. And the fifth is leave. And again, somehow I didn't represent that right. It should be alphabetical A through E, not numerical 1 through 5. Module A, Review Budgets. There are 8 menu options on the screen, alphabetical A through H. It's broken down into 2 sections, yearly or monthly, and they're called presentations. For the yearly ones, A through F, you have A, Budget Expense versus Actual Expense. This, you pick the months and the category, and it shows you the actual amounts versus budget amounts and a variance. B, actual incomes versus budget incomes. Again, you pick the months, and it shows the actual and budget amounts and a variance. C, incomes budget versus expense budget. Again, pick the months, and it shows the income versus the expense budgets and the variance. D, incomes actual versus expense actual. Once again, you pick the months, and it shows the income versus expense actuals and the variance. E, single category incomes. You pick a category, you pick the months, and it shows you the actual, the budget, and the variance for a single income category. And F, single category expenses. Again, you pick the category, you pick the months, and it shows you the actual, the budget, and the variance for a single expense category. That concludes the yearly portion. Now for the 2 monthly ones. G, actual incomes versus budget incomes. Pick a month, and it shows you the actual, budget, and variance for all income categories. And H, actual expense versus budget expense. Again, pick a month, and it shows you the actual, the budget, and the variance for all expense categories. Module B, Change Entries. This allows you to change budget amounts for selected months. Module C, Print Budgets. This is just like review budgets, but to the printer. Module D, Setup Budgets. This is used to set up a budget. It has the ability to take several quarterly or bi-monthly, etc., payments or deposits, and divide them up so it's budgeted across all 12 months. You will need to swap disk a few times while it moves data to the budget disk. This is the only part of the program I really found tedious. You have to validate each income category for each month by answering a question with yes or no. This will take a while with 13 categories and a final question about the entire month being correct. You have 14 times 12 for 168 entries to complete. If you didn't want those non-monthly items averaged, this is where you would need to pay attention and enter them in the correct months. Now that you've finished the income side, do the same thing for the expense side. Yes, 336 entries total. Who said setting up a budget was easy anyway? And last, Module E, well, it's not really a module, it's just Leave Program, and it does just that.
Summary.
When I started out with Atari Family Finances, I was actually searching for a checkbook balancer. Based on the description, I thought it might fit the bill. If you're looking for a checkbook balancer, this isn't it. This is designed to evaluate your spend versus your income and help you create a budget. It's more of a monthly overview than a daily where am I. And now for the dreaded complaints. The first one is minor. The setup program cleared all data, but it didn't erase all the categories. This is probably designed so that it carries over into the next year. However, it would be nice to have the option to clear all the categories in the case where you are starting out completely new. Second, some of the menus don't show you which month you are working with. I found myself visiting the Get New Month function, which does show the current month at the top of the selection screen, more than I care to admit. Third, there is no way to enter recurring income or expenses. Fourth, the beeping bell, ding, or whatever it does, gets old fast. It does it at the close of each input. Speaking of input, if you do something wrong, it will give you a warble. And last, if you make a mistake editing and still tell it why that it's correct, you have to escape out to the change function, find the record, change it, and then escape back out to the add function to resume your ads. Similarly, when entering data for different categories, you end up escaping back out to select a new category, then going back to add. This makes for a lot of menu diving that I don't really care for. I would rather have seen at least some sort of pop-up or drop-down. Now, granted that UI elements like this were all but non-existent in 1981 when this was written. Now that that is out of the way, there are some things I did like about it. It is easy to use and it's easy to understand. For a basic program, it runs pretty quick, though you will notice some screen drawing when changing menus and functions. And the program automatically removes alpha characters from numeric input fields. That's a nice touch. Okay, with my 1982 hat on, if I were struggling to maintain or determine a budget, this program would definitely help out. I would probably use it to at least get an idea of my cash flow and make an initial stab at a budget. I would need to understand that I would spend the better part of a few days preparing data to be used, but at the end, the reporting is insightful. From a retro computing perspective, I probably wouldn't use it. I would look for software that collects and evaluates daily data, such as the meal at Chick-fil-A, on top of the regular monthly transaction like mortgages and utility bills. More of an all-in-one program. The bit rating is coming up, and I would rate it higher if I could truly customize which disk drives were used. It would be nice to use at least three drives. I realize that most people would have only have dreamed of having three drives in 1982. Even I dreamed of having just one. But the drive usage logic somehow seems flawed to me. I guess what I'm saying is that I would rather have it ask income data drive, expense data drive, and program data drive. Then if they're all the same, have it prompt to do inserts like the program is already doing now. The other ding that it's going to get is there is no customization of the reports. I would like to have seen at least the ability to modify or add a report header. As it stands, the reports are nice, but there's no indication of the year, just the months. And last, the manual. Some features are not adequately covered. A couple of times I was left bewildered on what something does, or more aptly, what happens when you answer a particular question with a yes instead of a no. Overall, I give this bit rating of 6, where 1 is the lowest and 8 is the highest. All in all, it's not a bad program, especially considering it's written in BASIC, which A, makes it slower, and B, consumes memory that could otherwise be used by data. And at the end of the day, it does do what it set out to do. And do you see what I mean about that bell? Son of a...
fun facts.
Number 1. Atari Family Finances was originally released as two separate programs under APX, Family Cash Flow and Family Budget, in 1981. Atari released these under one program as Family Finances in 1982. Number 2. Cash Flow was originally a light blue colored screen. And number 3. Cash Flow was APX part number APX20080. It was not XL and XE compatible. And Family Budget was APX part number APX20108.
Corrections.
And sadly, I have a correction. In Season 1, Episode 6, the Synapse Synfile Plus episode, the price I originally stated was incorrect. Synfile Plus originally sold for $99.95 in 1983. Today, that's $238.66. And another fun fact about Synfile Plus, it was written in fourth.
Listener feedback.
As far as feedback goes, I'm pretty good about responding to feedback I receive pretty much right away or relatively quickly anyway. But I'm not always great about keeping track of it to mention on the podcast episodes, though I do try. With that, I do have one notable entry that I'm going to commit to right now. This came in from Justin via the Inverse Itasky website. He says, "Hi Wade, I write to congratulate you on achieving 8 excellent episodes of the Inverse Itasky Atari 8-Bit podcast. I last submitted feedback to you on November 20th, 2014, and having just listened to Season 1, Episode 8, which was released this morning, I thought I would take the invitation to your listeners to contact you again. May I start by thanking you for reading out my last email on the show. I was really pleased to hear you read out my feedback on the podcast, and this made it all the more worthwhile writing in. I continue to be a great fan of your show and eagerly await news on Facebook, Twitter, and the website of any new developments. I think that it is really great that you keep in close contact with your listeners, especially on the popular social media websites. I have enjoyed every episode to date in Season 1, and find it absolutely brilliant that you put links to the relevant PDF downloads for each show on the website. This means everything is in one place and can easily and simply be downloaded to the Inverse Itasky episode folders on my PC hard drives. I really like to download the productivity software manuals and browse them in my leisure, especially after listening to the podcast. I am a bit of a collector of PDF files, so I always consider it a real treat to find something new to download and file for reading on my mobile device or on a rainy day or spare moment. With regard to the new rankings page, I feel this is a brilliant idea, and it was good to see an item of software VisaCalc receiving a high score on today's episode. I remember in the 80s my family once considering the possibility of purchasing this particular example of productivity software for managing our household finances, so it was particularly interesting to have a personal link to today's show content. I was pleased to hear you have many more software products available for future shows, which means that Inverse Itasky will continue for at least the immediate future, which can only be good news. I know that I personally cannot get enough of the show. I have especially enjoyed the quality of Inverse Itasky podcasts, as I'm sure that you will be aware. Sometimes podcast recordings can encounter all manner of technical problems, but to date, I have on the whole found the audio quality to be a very high standard. I am also impressed with your website quality and your presence on social media, all of which enhance the experience of keeping updated on the latest Inverse Itasky developments. I hope that episodes get to run for many seasons ahead. And thank you, Wade, for your amazing contribution to the 2015 Atari 8-bit scene. With very best wishes, Justin." Wow, Justin, thanks for the flattering email. I'm truly glad I'm reaching people with a meaningful impact. When I set out to do this, I never imagined there would be this level of interest in non-game software. As others do, I as well set out to do at least as well as Ferg from the Atari 2600 Game by Game podcast. His show inspired me to do this one, and Inverse Itasky wouldn't exist without the guidance Ferg provided early on. And I'm not going to leave out Rob from Player Missile, who also helped a great deal. And after listening to Phil the No Swear Gamer's new podcast, the Atari 7800 Game by Game podcast, with his excellent presentation, It just makes me want to do all that much better. I'm glad you felt a connection to VisiCalc. I think many of us have similar connections to the groundwork it laid down. For me personally, it's Lotus 123, which is a VisiCalc clone written by a former VisiCorp employee. Go figure. I'm also glad you're finding the material on the website useful. I haven't always been diligent about letting the listeners know how much supporting material is there. If you haven't already, do yourself a favor. A favor? Do yourself a favor and visit the Inverse Ataski website. Speaking of VisiCalc, I've heard that Bob Frankston will be at VCF East 10 in April 2015. So if you're in the area around that time, check it out. And yes, I do have many software titles that can be covered. So many that it's often hard to choose. So if anyone has something particular they want to see, let me know so I can queue it up. On the subject of software, some of you may be wondering, since all of my screenshots are from emulation, do I own any of it? Yes, yes I do, where possible. To date, there are only two titles that I don't own, but I have looked for: Atari Calculator and LJK Letter Perfect. I know where I can get Atari Calculator, but it's a disc only, and I really want a boxed copy. So if anybody knows where I can get a boxed copy, please let me know. Again, thanks Justin for the very kind words. I appreciate it.
Special thanks.
I'd like to thank WizWars for releasing 8-bit Raceway with a license that let me use it as part of the intro. I'd also like to thank everybody who has tuned in and listened to the episodes. And also thank you for taking time out to give me likes and compliments. They are very much appreciated. And while we're on that subject, if you could take time out to go and rate me on iTunes, whether it's good or bad, any feedback is acceptable. I would appreciate that as well. And if you know somebody that's interested in this type of material, please let them know.
Contact information.
The show notes can be found on inverseataski.info. It can be found on iTunes using the search term Ataski or Atari. It can be found on Facebook at facebook.com/inverseataski. And you can also follow on Twitter with @inverseataski. To leave comments or suggestions, you can email wade@inverseataski.info or inverseataski@icloud.com. And inverseataski can also be found on Stitcher. As always, thanks for listening and stay tuned for the next episode. This has 6 modules as well. Does it? This is designed to evaluate... blah. Sadly, I have a correction. In Episode 1, Season 6... I think that's Bass Ackwards.
Goodbye.